our last broadcast, we suggested that you become thoroughly familiar with the subject matter of Joshua chapters 3 and 4, as we were going to attempt to point out to you in these broadcasts some specific spiritual lessons which might be learned from the historical matter in those chapters. Because our time was so abbreviated, we are not going to have time to read the chapters on the broadcast, simply make reference to events in the chapter, trusting that you will be familiar enough with them to understand what we are talking about. Now, one of the spiritual lessons that I would like for us to learn today is related to two types which are described in this chapter. The two types that we're going to have to keep in mind is what the River Jordan represents and what the Ark of the Covenant represents. Let me say at the outset that the River Jordan is a type of judgment and death. Get that fixed firmly in your minds. The River Jordan is a type of judgment and death. When I use the word death, I am not thinking primarily of physical death. I'm thinking of eternal death. I'm thinking of what the Spirit of God had in mind when he said, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And the other type that you will need to keep in mind is the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark stands for Christ and the cross. The Ark, upon the top of which was the mercy seat, represents the meeting place between God and man. Keep those types firmly fixed in your minds. The Jordan, representing judgment and death. The Ark, representing Christ and the cross. Now, as we pursue our discussion, keep in mind these types, and you will be able to follow the discussion more clearly, I think. And more definitely, the first thing that I would like to call to your attention are some of the lessons that might be learned from the River Jordan. Remember, even though I'm being repetitious, the River Jordan stands for judgment and death. Just as the River Jordan was a raging torrent, literally, so the judgment of God is a raging torrent against men who are disobedient to his word. And just as the children of Israel stood one day at the brink of the Jordan River, I would like to emphasize to you that everyone, at some time in his life, stands at the brink of destruction. Everyone, at some time in his life, stands at the brink of his Jordan River. For verification of what I'm saying to you, will you turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Romans, chapter 5. Chapter 5 of the book of Romans tells the story of the two Adams, the first Adam and the last Adam. Notice Romans 5:18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, the judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift of God came upon all men unto justification of life. You see, that says as plainly as anybody could say it, that because Adam sinned, every man stands at the brink of destruction. Every man stands at the brink of the Jordan. If you turn to the book of Hebrews, you will find the same truth emphasized in chapter 9 in a way that it cannot be escaped. For there you will notice, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. This is God's appointment for man, the judgment after death, unless that individual, as we shall see, has made the proper provision. Now picture, if you will, 2 million people standing at the brink of the Jordan River, this raging torrent a mile wide in a deep canyon. They were ready to cross the Jordan, but how could they get across? Do you suppose that any one of them could have gone out there and built a bridge that would have crossed the raging torrent? No, there was absolutely no way the raging torrent of the Jordan could be crossed. Will you go back to the book of Joshua with me now and notice chapter 3, the emphasis where it needs to be put on our lesson today. Joshua chapter 3, Verse 3, they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord, your God, and the priests of the Levites bearing it, then shall ye remove from your place and go after it. Then down in verse 8, thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in the Jordan. And then down in verse 11, behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. And then verse 14, it came to pass that when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come into the Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of the harvest. Notice carefully now in verse 16, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city of Adam, that is beside Zaretan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. Now, if I were to ask you, on the basis of the reading of these verses of Scripture, what caused the waters of the Jordan to roll back, if you are thinking, you would have to say the ark. Only one thing caused the waters of the Jordan to roll back, and that was the Ark of the Covenant. So I would remind you, as we glean our spiritual lessons, that there is only one person who can roll back the waters of judgment, and that is the person who is represented by the Ark. And I would like for you to remember that, because though you sit under the truth of God's Word enough that this may seem not like an electrifying truth to you, there are multitudes of people who don't realize this one particular thing, that Christ and Christ alone is the only one who can roll back the waters of judgment. For verification, will you turn again to the book of Romans chapter 5, please, and notice verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. You will notice the last statement of the verse, the righteousness of one. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there is another lesson that I want you to learn concerning the Jordan River. If you will turn back with me to the book of Joshua again, and notice some verses of Scripture in beginning with the 16th verse, that the waters which came from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city of Adam, that is beside Zaretan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. Now, the King James translation from which I'm reading is not as clear as it might be by way of explanation here, but what it's actually saying is that there were two heaps of water, piles of water, if we may use that term, like there were two piles of dirt, and God piled up the water. Now that's what it's saying. We've learned that already, but the significant thing is the direction from whence the waters came and the direction to which they were going, out of which God made the heaps of water. Glancing at verse 16, you will discover that God rolled the waters back as far as the city of Adam. He piled them up there. Now, you can look in vain for a city of Adam on the map, if you have a map. If you have a map, you will see a city of Adam indicated, but you will also see a little asterisk or some such symbol indicating to you that this is where people think it is, because it has never been located. Now, I'm not suggesting to you that there was no such city of Adam, but I'm suggesting to you that perhaps the location has never been definitely discovered because God wanted us to realize the spiritual lesson concerning rolling these waters back all the way to the city of Adam. For the spiritual lesson God would have us learn from the Jordan is that the Ark of the Covenant took care of judgment not only for the children of Israel, but as far back as Adam himself, the first man who ever sinned. Will you turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Romans once again, as I suggest to you that when the Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross, he did not die only for the sins of the people who were living in his day, but he died for every sin that has ever been committed up to the day he died and on beyond. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare," notice carefully now, "his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." Notice the phrase, "the remissions of sins that are past." What sins are they? All the sins that were committed from the day of Adam down to the cross. When God rolled the waters back in the River Jordan to the city of Adam, we have a typical lesson reminding us that God atoned for the sins of mankind back to the very beginning. Yes, our God, through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has made complete atonement for all sins of all men. Take advantage of that provision today.